Now, if you have a Bible, guys, I'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter 14. If you don't have one, that's all right. In a moment, the text that we'll be reading will be on the screen behind me. Today, we're going to talk about a man who was healed by Jesus of a disease called dropsy. Now, you probably have not heard of that disease, so I'm going to explain it in just a few moments. But we're continuing our study from the book of Luke. And before we read the text, I want to say a word about healing. The healing of a physical illness. Some of you are here this morning and you're sick. And we've been praying that God will heal you. My wife is a nurse and she's in the profession of bringing healing to people who are ill. As a pastor, I've been around people who are dying. And I have prayed, J.W., by the bedside of many of our church members that God would heal them. Sometimes he does. Other times he doesn't. Now, we've got a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ that we love who would say to us, if you pray for healing physically and you are not healed, there's something wrong with your prayers, something wrong with your faith. We would gently disagree with those brothers and sisters. The fact of the matter is, everyone in this room is going to die. We don't know when, but every one of us will die. During our lifetimes, God sometimes heals, sometimes he doesn't. Now, our friends who say that he ought to heal every time one of his children is sick, point to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and say, when you look at Jesus, he healed the sick. When you look at the disciples, they experienced healing of people who were deathly ill. So what happened then should happen today. And if it doesn't, there's something wrong with us. No, you're wrong. In fact, let me say something I hope you never forget. When you read the Bible and you read a story like we're about to read of Jesus healing an individual, understand that every miracle Jesus performed is a parable of something spiritual. The word parable means parallel. When Jesus healed this man of dropsy, it's a story that parallels your life spiritually. And we make a mistake when we miss the spiritual lessons of Jesus' healings. Because I want to show you this morning that in the same way Jesus took hold of this man, healed this man and sent him away, it's the same way he takes hold of us spiritually, heals us spiritually, and sends us out to do his business. You say, well, wait a minute, I don't understand the word spiritually. I mean, I know when I'm sick physically, but how do I know if I'm sick spiritually? Well, you're a spiritual being. It's what separates you and me from the animals. You never see a dog bowing before its bowl of dog food and asking the Lord to bless it, because the dog is not a spiritual being. But you often thank the Lord for your blessings because you are a spiritual being made in the image of your spirit creator. But many of us, if not all of us, are sick spiritually. So what we're about to read is a picture of what Jesus does for us. Let's begin reading Luke chapter 14 and verse 1. The Bible says that it happened that when Jesus went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, they were watching him closely. And in front of Jesus was a man suffering from dropsy. In a moment, I'll explain what dropsy is. And Jesus answered and spoke to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they kept silent. And Jesus took hold of him and healed him and sent him away. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Which one of you will have a son or an ox fall into a well and will not immediately pull him out on a Sabbath day?" And they could make no reply to this. When Jesus walks into this home, there's a man who has dropsy, and he sees him. Now, dropsy is a condition of the body where there is fluid that gets into your tissues so that your body swells. Now, it begins in the ankles and makes its way up your legs into your gut and then eventually into your heart and into your lungs. Now, we don't call it dropsy today. People with diabetes sometimes will have this disease. We can try to prevent it from spreading, but usually without success. In Jesus' day, there was no cure, and it would eventually get so bad that the person with dropsy couldn't walk. And sometimes the tissue that was swollen would ooze a pus that would be nasty. So the people with dropsy would literally be almost repugnant, messy, diseased, sick people. Well, there's a man, a leader of the Pharisees, who asked Jesus to go to his home to eat. Now, let me tell you about the Pharisees. They were people like today, religious people. I mean, they would be people like me, people who taught others the Word of God. They were religious people. Now, you got to understand something. Sometimes they get a bad rap in our day when we study the Bible. No, religious people, they were hospitable people. They were kind people. They were generous people. This man, this Pharisee, opened his home to Jesus. But every one of them was more interested in self-preservation than the healing of a man with dropsy. Let me explain what I mean. Jesus is the only one who notices the man with dropsy. Everybody else in the house, they're there, they're eating, and the Bible says they watched Jesus closely. They didn't have their eyes on the man with dropsy, the man who couldn't walk, the man who was sick, the man in need of healing. They watched Jesus closely. Who's the they there? The religious leaders, the Pharisees, the people like me. Why? They wanted to trap him. You see, guys, these religious leaders were upset with Jesus. Before Jesus came along, every Saturday the Jews would come to worship. They would pay their tithes. The Pharisees who taught the people the Word of God, they would receive their salaries. Everything was comfortable. Everything was nice. Everything was status quo. Nobody was rocking the boat. And then here comes the Son of God. And he starts raising the dead, giving money to the poor, feeding the hungry, healing the sick. And on Saturdays at church, people begin to whisper, "Wow, did you hear what happened this week? Lazarus was raised from the dead. What? Who did that? This man named Jesus from Nazareth. They say he's the Messiah." And so the religious leader invites Jesus to lunch. Listen to me very carefully. Sometimes we who are religious, we're good people, we're kind people, we're generous people, We open up our homes. But when our comfort is shaken, we can get a little irritable. And we miss the people in need of healing. When Jesus walks in to the house, he notices the man with dropsy. But he recognizes that the religious people are wanting to trap him. It's the Sabbath day, and they're wanting to catch him in a violation of the law. So Jesus asks them a question. And if you notice our text, the Bible tells us that the religious people remained silent when they were questioned. Now, why is that? Because it's my opinion, J.W., that religious people at heart are pretty good people. And if you ask them a question that they don't have an answer to, they'll be silent. You know, if I were to ask you, hey, what is our purpose as a church? Is it to reach people who are facing a drug addiction and have been knocked down and out and need help? Is it to reach people whose marriages have fallen apart, to move toward them in love, to seek reconciliation? What is our purpose? Is it to go to folks who are wounded and hurting and crippled and notice them and pay attention to them and put our arm around them and say to them, hey, how can I help you? This is what Jesus did. Or if our comfort is disrupted, are we looking to trap those who wish to bring healing to the wounded? I don't know. I do know this. These Pharisees, they trusted the institution. They put their faith in the money they received from the people who were now turning to Jesus, and they were losing their influence. C.S. Lewis, quoting St. Augustine, once said this, "Never place your happiness in something you may one day lose." If you find your happiness in your singing voice, you better reconsider. You may one day lose it. If I find my happiness in my ability to communicate, I may need to reconsider. I may become like Calvin Klassen and be unable to speak. I don't say a lot about politics. For the last 8 years, I've never said anything about President Obama. I haven't said anything about our new president, President Trump. And the reason is I do not believe the good news of Jesus Christ should ever be tainted with American politics, ever. So when you come here, you're going to hear the gospel. But you know, I am a political person. I'm an American. I'm a citizen. And so I'm active and I vote. I just keep it out of what we do for kingdom ministry. But as I was watching the inauguration on Friday at my desk, I noticed there was a woman. I don't know how to describe her. And I'm not condemning her or making fun of her. I'm just making an observation. The first time I saw the video, I was shocked. She was on her knees. The announcer on the platform was announcing our new 45th president, President Donald J. Trump. And she's on her knees and she is wailing. She is in agony. She's in grief and she's rocking back and forth, screaming. And my initial thought was, that looks demonic. But then I thought, no. Here's what it is. This woman has placed her trust in a former president. And he's gone. If you ever place your trust in church the way it was, you will one day lose your happiness. In terms of the kingdom, we are to be about reaching people who need spiritual healing. We are to be about doing what Jesus is doing. Now notice, the religious people, every one of them missed the person in the room in need of healing. How crazy is that? Now, in a moment, I will explain to you why these good religious people miss the people in need of healing. But right now, I just want you to see they missed him entirely. And that's a little bit like coming to community and coming to church and sitting and listening to great music this morning, which was wonderful, and to a message and to a pastor and to a preacher. And you think to yourself, wow, man, this is great. And we miss the person who's beside us, who's broken, in need of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Now, I have to commend you. I really do. Because I've seen a shift in our understanding. I think for the first time in 25 years of ministry, we are more interested in the person who's been wounded by his own sins than we are our comfort. And that's not easy. Notice, Jesus entered the room with several sick people and only one person left healed. You say, what? What do you mean there were several sick people in the room? There was only one. No. Everyone in the room was sick. Only one left healed. Why? Because only one knew himself to be sick. The problem with those of us who are religious, we develop this tendency of thinking ourselves being better than other people, that we have no problems, we have no sicknesses, we have no illnesses, we have no spiritual or emotional disease, we have nothing wrong with us. It's those people out there, they're the sinners. They're the ones who have screwed up. They're the ones who've got problems in their marriage. They're the ones who've got problems in their walk with Christ. They're the ones, no. Yeah. Now here's the deal. Deep down, we know we're the ones with problems. But we're so busy wanting to trap people that are pulling away our influence that we miss the people who really need healed. And because we don't think ourselves in need of healing, we have no affinity toward people who are sick. You see, the fact of the matter is, if this leader of the Pharisees who opened his home to Jesus had been healed by Christ, the first person he would have noticed in the room was the man with palsy. Because anytime you've ever been healed by Jesus, you immediately gravitate toward people in need of his healing. But these religious leaders in the room, I got you, Jesus. I'm watching you. What are you going to do on our Sabbath day, on this day where people look to us? We're watching you. We're going to trap you, Jesus. What are you going to do now? Do you see that? Do you see how sick that is? And not one of them left healed except the man with dropsy. Now notice how Jesus addressed the Pharisees. Jesus answered a question they had, but they never asked. I love this. If you're reading the Bible, if you look there at verse 3 of chapter 14, the Bible says that in front of Jesus was a man with dropsy, and Jesus answered and spoke to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, he answered. Now wait a minute, there's not a question. How can he answer when a question's not been asked? You ever wondered that? Well, he's God. He knows what they're thinking. And by the way, he answers with a question of his own that we'll see in just a moment. But my point is this. God's got the answers. You and I need to be asking the questions. I remember years ago, I struggled with wanting to control my environment, wanting to control Rochelle, wanting to control the kids, wanting to manipulate people so that everyone would have a good impression of me. So I would control people and manipulate. And sometimes I would use harshness, firmness, anger to control people. And one wise person once said to me, Wade, why are you angry? Ask yourself that question. And so I began doing that. Why am I angry? And then it would always be, JW, I'd be, well, because so-and-so did this. And this wise person said, okay, then continue on. Why does that make you angry? And so I would have to answer that question. Why am I angry about this? Okay, continue on. Why am I angry? I kept drilling down and drilling down and drilling down and drilling down. And do you know where I wound up? I wound up to the place of realizing that I always get angry when I feel out of control. And the fact of the matter is, JW, I'm never in control. Barbara, I'm never in control. So I began to see my own spiritual sickness by drilling down with questions. And so Jesus answers a question they never ask. Why? Because he's trying to show them they're sick. Jesus gave them a principle that they never pondered. You know what that principle is? Remember what Jesus is doing. He's going to take hold of the man with dropsy. He's going to heal him. Literally, what's going to happen is this man's joints, the fluid's going to go out. This man who can't walk is going to stand up, and he's going to be physically healed by the power of Christ. But remember, this is a miracle that parallels a spiritual truth. Jesus is showing what needs to happen in the hearts of the Pharisees and in our hearts as well. Here's the principle. Which of you, Jesus says. Verse 5. Which of you what? Which of you, when you have an ox or a son that falls into a ditch on the Sabbath day, which of you in this room would not go into that ditch and get your ox out and get your son out? Mercy always triumphs the law. What Jesus was saying was this: guys, I'm about to heal my son who has dropsy on the Sabbath day, and you're looking to trap me by saying he's violating the law of the Sabbath. Which of you on the Sabbath day will have a son fall into the ditch and will not go into that ditch to rescue him? Here's the point. Until you and I come to the place of seeing that the problem in the room is never the other person, it's me, we'll never be healed. Anytime you ever go to counseling, anytime you ever go to an encourager, anytime you ever go to a friend, and that friend helps you, enables you to continue to point your finger at someone else, they're not helping you. These Pharisees had their finger pointed at Jesus. He's our problem. He's disrupting our comfort. He's tearing down our institution. He's the reason we're in pain. And Jesus walks in and he sees the man with dropsy, the man that they'd all ignored. And he reaches over to heal him. But before he does, he stops and he says, guys, listen to me. Which of you would not do the same thing? Why weren't they doing the same thing? Why weren't the Pharisees, why wasn't this man who invited Jesus into his home, why didn't he walk into that house, walk over the man with dropsy, this man who was stinking because of the pus in his tissue, this man who couldn't walk, this crippled man, why didn't the leader of the Pharisees walk over to him, put his arm around him and say, son, how can I help you? Listen, the man who is healed, me, has come into my home. Why didn't he do that? Because he had never experienced healing himself. We will never be a church that brings healing to people in need of Jesus until we ourselves have experienced his healing hand. I want to close by showing you how Jesus healed this man. Jesus healed the man with dropsy in the same manner he heals each of us. What does the Bible say? Jesus took hold of him. One of the bad things about institutional churches is that sometimes we can miss the fact that Christianity is very personal. Jesus took hold of him. If we think our Christianity revolves around us being in a group, in a building, in a place where someone with spiritual authority is that imparts some kind of blessing to us, we're in an institutional church that has lost the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus took hold of him. And by the way, I remind you that the hymn here was stinking. Isn't it amazing how we want Jesus to only take hold of people who are not wounded, who are not bleeding, who are not oozing pus? Isn't it amazing how we want Jesus to take hold of people who are clean? No. The Bible says Jesus took hold of the man with dropsy, and that's why we ought never be afraid to take hold of a man with a drug addiction, or a woman in adultery, or a man who's gambled away his life savings, and put our arm around him and walk him to Jesus, who can heal him. Jesus took hold of him. And if we're going to be a church that brings healing to people in need of a Savior, we are not going to be afraid of taking hold of sinners. The Bible says Jesus healed him. No other person healed the man with dropsy. I can't heal anybody. A counselor can't heal anyone. Your mom can't heal you. Your dad can't. Your best friend can't. No, your spouse can't. They can model healing, but only Jesus can heal us. Jesus took hold of him, and Jesus healed him. And then notice this. Jesus sent him on his way. He sent him on his way. What does that mean? Well, it seems to me, if nothing else, he wasn't to stay in the house of the Pharisees. He left. And can you imagine how this crippled man with dropsy, whose very life stunk? Can you imagine what happened when he left the home of the religious leader? Joe, is that you? Joe, what happened to you? What happened to you, Joe? You're so different. Did that happen in the Pharisee's house? And Joe says, yes. But it wasn't the Pharisees who helped me. It was Jesus. People ask me all the time, why don't we have an invitation at Emmanuel Enid? Why don't we have a call, an altar call, where we have people come to the altar? Do you know why? The only invitation that counts is the invitation to leave the religious house and to show people how Jesus has healed you. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. You may die of cancer. But you don't have to die without being healed by Christ. How about it? I think we're on the right track. I think we're moving ahead. And guys, I would challenge you, gals, I would challenge you. Understand that Sunday mornings is not about institutional religion. It's like a pick-me-up. It's like a breakfast at the beginning of the week to receive some encouragement from the words of Christ, to leave and to notice the people who have dropsy. Because we have it too. But we know the one who heals. Let's pray.